Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
And I think it's okay to just go, right, I'm all right at the moment. So if I'm all right at the moment, maybe I can ask somebody else to see how they're doing at the moment.
I think sometimes people presume when you're going to talk to a friend or a family member about their mental health, you're going to have to, you know, put on a suit, a pair of glasses, sit back on the couch and let's have this conversation. But actually what you've just described there is something completely different. Those little bits. But actually, it's almost quite important to have this conversation around how do you talk about mental health?
And actually, I think what we're trying to really encourage people to do and to recognise is you don't have to be an expert to actually just lend a hearing ear and actually hear what people are saying. Don't try to fix it.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Welcome to the programme. My name is Mick Coyle. It's Mental Health Monday here for another week. Depending on when you're listening to this, we've decided to launch this week's episode a few days early to make sure it coincides with February the 4th's Time to Talk Day, for reasons which we'll go on to as part of the podcast as well. A really important day, but this is essentially episode 191 of Mental Health Monday. Time to Talk Day, it's another date in the diary and it's another date on the calendar, but a good opportunity once again to flag the conversations around mental health and also an opportunity to launch something brand new, which I'm hoping will make a really big difference. We're encouraging people this year to share how they're feeling, to talk about their emotions, how they've coped through the pandemic. We've all been through the pandemic together, but we've all had very different experiences. And for you, what's really going on behind the mask? We're asking people to go on social media and talk about how they're feeling, the good, the bad, the coping strategies, the things that worked, the things that didn't, maybe the things that were particularly triggering, the things you found difficult, and to share them, to open up that conversation around mental health. We're calling it hashtag behind the mask. If you're okay to tweet that when you post a video, that will be really helpful. Some people have put some brilliant videos out there already. Starting off the video, wearing a mask, taking it off, introducing themselves, and then talking through what they've experienced. Little short 90-second, two-minute videos, really, really effective. There's plenty of links up on social media for that hashtag behind the mask. If you want to take part in that, it would be absolutely brilliant. And I'm hoping that through people seeing that you can talk about your feelings, you can talk about your emotions, they might, well, hopefully resonate with some of your feelings. They may feel a sense of empathy towards you, but it also might, for them, put into words some of the feelings that they've been having too. And with that in mind, we want to really signpost as well to some key services where people can then find out some more information. Brilliant example of that is the Hub of Hope. Hub of Hope, type in your postcode, find mental health services. There's loads of stuff online in regard to Samaritans, if you need to speak to them, if you're struggling, GPs and the referrals that they can make as well. So it's not just about sharing your emotions and throwing it out there. It's about using that as an opportunity to start a conversation, to normalize and usualize conversations around mental health. I'd love you to be part of it. I'm delighted to say that online, this week's guest of Mental Health Monday, Joe Loughran, has also done a video for us under the hashtag behind the mask. Now, Joe Loughran is from Time to Change. She's their director and she's the person in charge of organising the many events take place in for this year's Time to Change event. And it's such an important time to talk, and it's so important to talk, as I found out when I caught up with Joe.
Yeah, it totally is. And I think it doesn't really matter how people are having their conversations, as long as they're having them. That's the most important thing. And you're right, this is our 8th year of running Time to Talk Day. And it's not about us just talking about and having conversations about mental health today. It's about making sure that this is a great focal point to kind of launch people and encourage people to have conversations for the rest of the year. But it's really great that we can get everybody involved in something that's happening on the same day. So it's a real pleasure to roll out another Time to Talk Day.
And it's such an important day as well in terms of the need for people to talk either now, tomorrow, in 3 weeks' time, in 3 months' time. And your research has kind of proven that people are really going through a difficult time of it at the moment.
I mean, it's been a weird year, hasn't it? It's been really, really challenging for absolutely everybody. And for some people more than others, it's fair to say. And you're right, we did a survey with about 5,000 adults in the UK. And about half of those people said that they had felt that they needed to take some time out from either their job or from school or from university. And the real worrying thing around the survey that we conducted was that 17% of those said that they didn't take action. They didn't do that. They didn't take time out to look after their mental health. And that for us is hugely worrying, because we've got a whole group of people out there who are struggling and possibly struggling alone.
And also that idea that those people who did respond and say they needed to take the time out, that wasn't just a group of people saying, yes, I have felt a little bit lower, I have felt a little bit down. That idea you need to take a break from what it is that you're doing actually makes you aware of the fact that maybe there's something more than just, well, I can't quite cope today being a factor.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's really interesting as well when we ask people what kinds of things and what reasons did they not take action. And it was really interesting. We had people talk about feeling too embarrassed. We had people talking about worrying that they'd be judged. And I think very worryingly that people thought that it would impact on their future prospects and particularly their kind of job prospects. And all of those things speak to me as the director of a campaign that's been challenging stigma and discrimination for nearly 15 years, that whilst we've had great progress in terms of stigma and discrimination, there's still a way to go. We need to create an environment where everybody feels comfortable, both having a conversation about their mental health, but also raising it and talking to people if they're finding that they're struggling. That's the first step if we need people to get professional help, but also just having that conversation can be the thing that gives them the support they need to get through that day or the next day or the day after.
Do you think that that idea of stigma, many different companies now will have policies in regard to mental health, may have taken part in mental health training, may have mental health first aiders. Do you think there's an element, though, that actually that stigma is both external but also internal, that people, even though they might work for even a mental health friendly organisation, may have within their own mind questions about how they would actually talk about their own mental health?
I think that's spot on. I think people have a kind of internalised expectation of what experiencing a mental health problem is and looks like, and some of that is fed by media representation, etc., but some of that's just about how we've been brought up and our sense of what we're recognizing as this sense of weakness or failure. And for lots of people that's really difficult to get past. And I think there's something around us, we have this kind of expectation that we might reach out if we're struggling. But I think it's as important to be talking to the people around us to say, keep an eye out for your friends, for your family, for your work colleague. If you're worried about them, ask a question. And if they're kind of, if you're not sure that they're giving you the right answer or the answer that you're worried about, then ask them again. Because oftentimes people really, really appreciate that the power of small, which is the theme for Time to Talk Day, really appreciate those tiny, tiny things that we feel might not make any difference at all. But for somebody who's really holding on to something and not talking about it, could be the difference between them feeling able to reach out and talk about it and keeping that to themselves. And we know that actually being able to talk about something is incredibly powerful, both for that individual and in order to feel like you've got that support mechanism around you.
In terms of that and the theme to this year's event, I think sometimes people presume when you're going to talk to a friend or a family member about their mental health, you're going to have to, put on a suit, a pair of glasses, sit yourself down, sit back on the couch and let's have this conversation. But actually what you've just described there is something completely different. Those little bits. But actually, it's almost quite important to have this conversation around how do you talk about mental health?
Agreed. And we've got loads and loads of tips on the website. So if people are uncertain to go and do that. But I think, if we think about what sort of top tips might be in terms of starting a conversation, I think there's something around doing something really simple, which, again, everybody goes, well, yeah, don't really need to tell me that. But actually, sometimes we do need to reiterate that it's really good to ask questions. And one of the most important things is just to be able to hear and listen to what people say. Oftentimes we get really, really worried that we can't have a conversation with our friends or our family or our work colleagues unless we are experts in a particular subject or a diagnosis. And actually, I think what we're trying to really encourage people to do and to recognise is you don't have to be an expert. to actually just lend a hearing ear and actually hear what people are saying. Don't try to fix it. That's not your job. And don't get distracted by worrying about, not being expert in this particular field.
And actually, your survey is kind of found in terms of the results that actually the act of speaking to somebody about the problem was actually one of the most positive things that people got. It didn't require a psychoanalysis or a psychiatrist. Absolutely. Or a psychologist. It just needed essentially a friend, a companionship, a work colleague who would be willing to take that time.
Absolutely. And people reported from that survey feeling really reassured that they weren't alone. So I often talk about this in terms of when I go out and about and people say, they meet you for the first time, and they say, so what do you do for a living? And I say, I run, really, really proud to run this amazing anti-stigma campaign. It's called Time to Change. And because it's about mental health, it's like it opens the floodgates for people, but it's not because I've got a really sympathetic face. It's nothing to do with me at all. It's because I've given people permission by stating that this is my job title to be able to talk about it. And that's so powerful. And people talk probably oftentimes for the first time in their lives because I've indicated that I am open to hearing what they have to say because of the job that I do. So that feeling reassured that people aren't alone is really important. The other thing was that, like you say, people felt really comforted that there was somebody there to listen. Simple. It really is simple. And again, I don't want to underplay the importance of asking questions and listening, because people tell us that that's one of the most powerful things that we can give to them. And also then, other people did say, look, okay, so now I've talked about it for the first time. That's a real relief. And now I feel empowered to be able to go and seek help, because one, I don't feel like I'm wasting everybody's time. You're reflecting back to me that maybe I do need to get help and support for this, and now I'm willing to go and do that. So from those tiny little acorns grow amazing trees that enable us to really kind of make a difference to the status quo for people who are experiencing mental health problems.
You mentioned the fact that people sort of open up to you. I was going to do this at the end, but I'll do it now if you don't mind. I put on Twitter just last night sort of a thought on sort of the conversation similar to that you've been having with people who just almost like come to me and kind of say, oh, even people who were doing okay through March, April, May, even through back end of last year, suddenly January's come around and things have changed. I simply put on social media, does anyone else feel like the impact of lockdown on people's mental health has really ramped up since Christmas? And just the response that I've had has been absolutely huge. Alan said, agreed. He said, I noticed on Zoom and Teams especially, previously people would nod or give other visual clues. Now nothing. Even when asked if there's any questions or feedback, people don't even react to say no. They just sit there detached. I found that I'm doing it too. David said, Mick, I work in a food and retail. I'm becoming more anxious all the time with the increasing lack of respect from customers. On top of that, I'm used to socializing with mates most evenings. So after struggling in work, there's no release. Lisa says, absolutely yes, and at this time of year it was sure to be far more punishing. Two very dark days. Becky said, Mick, I feel like homeschooling element for a lot of people is significant. Kids were still in school for lockdown two. Lockdown one was more of a novelty. The prospect of juggling all for another few months is, then they've used that emoji where it's the head exploded with the cloud, and there's reply after stay at home owners been hard on the kids, says Jan. Mark says, I feel there's no idea when our new normal will commence. Gary says, January is a bad month in normal years for us with hospitality and others affected. Now it's really bad. Also tougher for young people missing school, university, work and friends. People talking about the weather. The response was absolutely huge. And every single one of those reasons as well is in and of itself an issue that someone might have to deal with. But every other issue also compounds as well, which means you can totally understand that actually there will be a desire for people to reach out. But I think at the same time, we're almost blessed with the fact we've all got a topic that we can relate to. Like, we can almost think, well, let's use lockdown as a reason to talk about, because no one's thinking lockdown's fabulous and it's great. Nobody's thinking like that. So we can relate. That's a relatable conversation in the way that we can relate to discussing the weather, which is the only other thing that I can think of that gets everyone going in the same way.
And it's that commonality, isn't it, that enables people to kind of start that conversation. And somebody somewhere will say, you know, it's really impacting on how I'm feeling about things. And that can then act as that kind of, you know, sort of jumping off point to start that conversation. So I think a couple of things come out to me around that, which is, yeah, the importance of reaching out and just checking in with people, whether it's a quick text, whether it's a phone call, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's not Zoom. I think we're all probably done with that. But we are in a situation that we find ourselves in. So it's even more important that people maybe take time out and think, well, okay, what do I need to do to make myself feel as happy and healthy as I can within the circumstances? So for me, I have a history of depression, and I know that going out and being outside in nature and going for walks, and we talked about before we came on air, we talked about how cold and miserable it is at the moment. At Christmas, I bought myself some waterproof trousers and a waterproof jacket so that the weather couldn't stop me getting outside, because that's how important it is for me to make sure that I get out of this house every single day. And it doesn't matter whether I've got 10 minutes or I've got 2 hours. The regimen of me saying this 10 minutes is for me, and it's so that I can go out, because I know how good that is and how much perspective that gives me personally. And people listening will have their own sense of what that might look like for them. And if you don't know now, I'd really encourage you to take 10 minutes just to think it through and think about what might work for you.
Absolutely. Joe Loughran is with us from Time to Change. Thank you to everybody who got involved on that on the social media. I'll make sure that we continue that conversation. And there's some signposting services on the end of that post as well, which I think is really important. Joe, in terms of the survey, you've spoken to people up and down the country, and it's probably worth making a point on this one, that people who are living in maybe rural communities where relatively isolated, potentially living in small villages, versus people who are living in sort of major urban centres. I wonder whether or not people's experiences of talking may be a little bit different. So I wonder if we could first look at sort of the rural before we focus on the urban, about how people might experience that differently and what you would advise in those circumstances for people who live in different environments up and down the country.
Yeah, I mean, without wanting to anticipate, you know, even if people are living in different situations, you know, they might have ways in which they, you know, are able to talk. So for me, I do live in a kind of rural setting. So therefore, getting out and having a walk and when permissible to be walking alongside somebody else so that I can have that conversation is really useful. Having that conversation also allows me to, because we know that kind of like side by side process is really helpful, because often we've, like you said before, let's get our kind of like, you know, our bow tie on, let's put our hat on and put our kind of like, okay, today we're now going to talk about mental health, is not necessarily helpful. But if you're doing a distraction activity, it's great. And remember, I think the important thing for me is it's not about the context necessarily of the conversation, although that is important to be thinking through, is now the right time, is now the right place. It's more about the content and how you can go about doing that. So it, as I say, it doesn't matter if it's a text. Some people respond really, really well to just knowing somebody's out there that they can call on if they can. Or it could be to phone somebody and have a telephone. Remember when we wrote letters? I do. I remember when we wrote letters many, many moons ago. There's something really so lovely about receiving something through the post. So whatever you do, however you kind of have that conversation, the context doesn't matter. Just make sure you find a way to make it happen and work for you.
I was reading just this morning about high suicide rates among farmers. And I almost think of that as the classic example of the rural life. Some people would think, oh, what a wonderful place. You're in the countryside, it must be great. But actually, there must be a million and one different factors with that high pressure job, working long hours. There's an element of isolation there too. And I guess that time to talk day message has got to reach the farmers the same as it would a city worker, the same as it would a homeschooler.
Yeah, and you're totally right. And I think that's why Time to Talk Day for us is we facilitate it, but what we're really asking people to do is to disseminate it. So, you know, we pull together all of the kind of key themes and some of those helpful bits of kind of collateral, like the postcards that we've got and the window posters and stuff. But really the essence of this is that every time I have a conversation with somebody else, and they have a conversation with somebody else, you have that effect that means that you're escalating and taking it to places that we as a central team wouldn't be able to reach necessarily. So we're really, really encouraging people to get involved in the day and to really make it the success, because we don't make it the success. Everybody out there, all of your listeners, everybody who does something on Time to Talk Day, they make it a success.
Now's a good time, Joe, to talk about what we'll be doing. It's up and down the country. Hopefully it's all going to plan as we speak. We're recording this conversation now. We're doing a feature called Behind the Mask, and that's our way of having this conversation, that people have gone through this whole pandemic in very different ways, but we've all experienced similar themes. But what's really going on behind the mask? And just physically, when you see somebody now, it's not always, you can't always tell who they are first and foremost, but you also can't tell how they are emotionally. That the idea that you take off the mask and give something of yourself, I thought was a nice way of framing the conversation and encouraging people to talk, but also showing how other people might talk about their emotions and what they've been through during the last year or so.
I think that's just absolutely beautiful, and I think you're totally right in terms of the mask and thinking about what goes on behind it. So oftentimes we have to be a mum or a dad, a parent. We are a professional. We are a friend, and sometimes we have to hide behind all of that goes with that in order to put to the fore what we think other people need from us. And maybe they do need that from us at that moment. But actually, in taking that mask off, that's a really powerful way of thinking about the fact that it doesn't really matter what you see or maybe what you're hearing. The only way really to be able to understand where people are emotionally is to ask that question, because we can't make assumptions that people who look the most confident people in the whole wide world aren't actually sitting there thinking, I'm really scared about this situation, this meeting, this conversation, talking about mental health. You know, all of those things might be being hidden by a mask of professionalism or a mask of being in a particular role at a particular time. So really, I think it's lovely. And I think I would really reiterate the kind of asking questions, because if we don't do that, some people simply will never take that mask off.
And I think it's a really great point, and, you know, asking those questions crucial as well. And one of the other things that I'm sort of keen for to happen in regard to this is that people who think, you know what, I'm doing okay, I don't really necessarily feel like I'm waiting on someone to ask, might actually also decide to speak, because then there might be, I'm not saying it will become a learnt behaviour, but then other people might see and go, oh, I see people are talking about their feelings. Maybe I can talk about my feelings, or maybe the thing that you heard somebody say in a clip on social media really resonated or put into words a feeling that you'd had during the lockdown period.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why we're so passionate about Time to Talk Day and the essence of the day about having conversations. Because the more we do that, the more we kind of normalize the act of talking about feelings, of talking about whether we're struggling. And not every feeling that we go through is going to be, classed as a mental health problem. The feelings that we go through, particularly when we've had this really bizarre and unsettling year, are probably quite normal emotional reactions. And that's fine. But it's great that we can talk about those. And it's great that we can talk to somebody and they go, I know that feeling too. I've experienced it in this way. And that's really helpful and supportive. But if we can all be... I think that is right. If we can all be kind of showing the behaviour of being willing to not just talk about the topic, but to be able to engage in sharing our own experiences of that, that's a really, really powerful thing.
I often think that sometimes, you know, issues in and of themselves can actually be quite tedious. Like, you're not allowed to go outside, so you can't go outside. And that's the rule. And in and of itself, there's not a great deal more to say about that, outside of as mum got her shopping, as gran got milk, and so on and so forth. It's actually how you feel about that situation and how you respond and how concerned you are for other people. That actually proves that it is very much a mental health issue and a mental health response to very physical surroundings, if you like.
Yeah, and it's a very individual response as well, isn't it? So It can be quite easy to look around and see people cope, apparently coping extremely well with what's happening in their lives, whether it's about lockdown or anything else. And I think that that again, that comes back to the kind of the importance of asking questions and looking beyond the mask, because of course, what might be going on behind all that for people might be completely different. Also that it's kind of okay to be coping right now. I think that's the other thing too. So I think there's a little bit of weirdness around people going, actually, I'm doing okay, but feeling like they don't want to say that because there's so much difficulty for so many people. And I think it's okay to just go, right, I'm all right at the moment. So if I'm all right at the moment, maybe I can ask somebody else to see how they're doing at the moment. So it's all that kind of, responding appropriately, recognizing that everything is very individual, making sure we're asking those questions, making sure we're listening and hearing the answer. And again, as I say, don't worry about needing to be an expert. Don't worry about fixing things. And also recognize that sometimes people might want to talk about that from their own perspective in terms of what's going on for them. And sometimes they might not. That's okay too.
And I guess as well, people who maybe thought, I'm coping in the early stages, who maybe have, as we heard in the tweets before, maybe change their thoughts as well. I guess it's important to almost have to check in with yourself, maybe ahead of Time to Talk Day, or use Time to Talk Day as a good day for it to kind of think, right, how am I? How am I feeling? Do I feel better than I felt back in the summer? Do I feel worse? And that's a good little measure. So you know maybe how you are, and a mark's out of 10 potentially. And at least then, if you feel great, you'll know then in a few months' time, if you're feeling worse, well, actually, I felt okay at the start of February, because I remember listening to Joe Loughran on Mental Health Monday. And that was the first week in February, but now it's March or it's April and I feel worse. We need to measure those things, don't we?
Yeah, we need to recognise what's going on for ourselves and be a bit sort of self-aware. And also if to recognise, well, what was going on in my life that meant that I felt okay then, and maybe what's changed now. And that also sometimes gives us an indication of what needs to change, or what we need to kind of up doing something and less doing something else. You know, what is it we need to do to get that equilibrium back in our lives?
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the resources on the website as well. Just mention that so that people can head there, download and take a look at some of those things as well. And there's plenty on social media as we speak too.
Absolutely. Yep. So Time to Change website, just put in Time to Talk Day and it will take you directly to all of the resources. We've got specific resources for employers, for schools, for community, for sport. So there's loads of stuff there, loads of ideas in there as well about doing stuff on the day that's virtual, ways in which you can reach out and ways in which you can use the collateral that we've got there too.
Brilliant stuff. Your message, please, Joe, for those people who are thinking, oh, maybe Time to Talk Day is the day where I'll ask those questions or I'll explore my own feelings. What would you say to encourage them?
I'd say just do it. Don't worry about it. Just get on and do it. Don't worry that people, that this isn't the right time for you. If you feel it and you want to do it, reach out or have a conversation about the topic of mental health. Think about whether you want to talk about your own feelings or not. And if you don't, then don't. But if you do, go for it.
And for those people who were taking part in Behind the Mask, who were giving something of themselves in terms of their sort of journey so far, what would you say to those people and those who are feeling inspired to maybe record their own message, put something on social media to support it?
Massive thank you, basically. So everything that we've done at Time to Change, and it will be the same for you with Behind the Mask, nothing that we do could have possibly happened if it hadn't been for individuals who had personal experience of mental health problems, who are willing to talk about that publicly, who are willing to be media volunteers for us, and who are willing to kind of really champion the cause of mental health. So for all of our thousands and thousands of champions that make Time to Talk Day a complete success, and Time to Change as a concept in the last 14 years, huge thank you, huge respect. Everything you do every day, every conversation you have, has the ability to change people's lives. So huge thank you, and feel proud.
Absolutely. Joe, in terms of the future, Time to Change comes to an end in its current form as well, but the work you've done over the years has been absolutely crucial, and I'm sure elements of those that work will continue in various different forms as well. So I think on behalf of the mental health community, although I'm not the spokesperson for them, many people will want to thank you and the work that you've done over the years as well, because I think it's played a huge role. And I think often conversations around mental health, you never quite know how many people it impacted or the difference that it made. So thank you, and to all your team as well, for the incredible work. I think it's been a wonderful campaign, and I hope that the work continues in various different shapes and forms. And I know that your staff will disappear into different directions, but I'm sure they'll continue to do wonderful things and speak of fond memories of working with people like yourself.
Cool. Thank you so much. And I will definitely pass it on to the team.
Thank you for your time. Joe Loughran from Time to Change.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.